The reading is in the Song of Solomon, and chapter 2, and verses 1 to the end of verse 7. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay with me, flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Perhaps the main line I have for tonight is his banner over me. His banner over me was love. That's Song of Solomon, and that is verse 4, and the section is from verse 1 through 7 or 8, round about there. Now, I need to remind you of the time, really, because of the nature of the book. It is an allegory. And it's written by Solomon. And remember the sensitivity of Solomon, and that he's been given by God a wise and an understanding heart. And so you'll have a person there, don't you, who's that rather special. It's a very rare gift from God. He describes a relationship between some people say it is just a love song. It is a love song, but it is a love song with a special meaning. If it were merely a love song, as some commentators say, I cannot see any purpose it being in the Bible. But most evangelical commentaries over the centuries have been very fond of this book, and it's been a favourite book of Christians. And it's really, originally, the love between God and Israel. And then for us, between our Lord Jesus Christ and us and the church. So that's really our background. Now, there's a long history. There are times in our lives, in the church or in our individual lives, times of spiritual apathy. And there are also times when we are encouraged. So everything's in this book, really, and it's worth noting. Times of refreshing and personal relationship. We've looked at already, and I won't go through it all, but just to remind you, in chapter 1, there is the reluctance of the believer. Now, I'm sure we have all experienced that, a kind of reluctance in our hearts to read the Bible, to pray, to follow the precepts of the Bible, to be kind to one another, to love. We often have, I suppose, been in that valley. But here's a reluctance of the believer, and brought from there. And we should all desire, if we are in that trough of despair, we should all desire to come into that lovely place with him. And so in verse, we have these words. Tell me, in chapter 1, verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. And if you remember, the theme was that there were some that loved the fellowship of the Lord. And although this person speaking as a believer doesn't know the warmth that is possible. And so, as you tell me, where do those special loving people, where do they gather? Where do you take them for a rest at noon? And he gave them the instruction, well, follow them. Make good company of godly people. Don't make company just, be friendly to the ones who will just kind of give an assent and even be believers, but make company of spiritual people and bring your children and let them know the shepherd or let them know their minister. So that was so far. I am the rose of, he says that in chapter, I am the rose of Sharon, chapter 2. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. Now, this has a two-way thing. We know the excellency of his person, as God and as man. If we say that for a moment, you consider the person of Jesus Christ. He is God. He is that. And you do find some hymns that have that phrase. It can be misunderstood. There's such a thing, a heresy, it's called patripassionism. And patripassionism, this is what it means. It means that God the Father died on Calvary. Well, that, of course, quite a number of good men have fallen into that error for a while, and then they've come back. But Christ is God. Christ is God. For oh my God, it found out me, you know. So that there are many, in one Welsh hymn, translating it, the pure blood of God. Well, we know what it's meant. Jesus Christ as God. Right, so we have him as God with all his power and as man. He's a man in order to identify with us and understand our frailties and our limitations and our temptations too and our weakness, so he can understand how you feel and how I feel in our various situations. But it's God to give us the victory over all these things. So in one person, you have two natures. Now then, I am the rose of Sharon, I am the lily of the valley. It is also the tender fragrance of his person. Have you had a time when you're reading the Bible, praying, or a hymn, something of the, using the word fragrance as a warmth of heart maybe, the fragrance of his person and his presence, and you're able to say, the Lord was there. The Lord was there. In my own experience, I'll try and put this as carefully as I can. It was with Dr. Lloyd Jones, and he called me to him. He could see I was concerned. And I told him, and he said, well, I think we'll pray about this. I'm not going into the details. And after he had prayed, I said, the air feels different. It feels like velvet. And I remember him saying, the Lord is here. We stay quietly for a while. He is here. And from then on, the sickness I had departed. Now then, there's a fragrance of his presence. Now, where does he find us? We are also lilies. That is, his righteousness becomes ours. So, in a sense, it's a two-way thing. So where does he find us? He finds us amongst the thorns. That is where he finds us. Now, his grace alone can make the believer different in the thorns. It's a reference to the rose, the lilies, in the righteousness of Christ. As a lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So it's a two-way thing. I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily of the valley. But when a person has become a believer, he has imparted his righteousness, his beauty, all this. And so we are able to say also that we have this fragrance of the rose and the lily from him. So it's a two-way thing. Primarily, it is Christ. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. Now, the response of the bride, the response of the believer to her beloved. So our first point, the choice of her heart. This is the choice of your heart or my heart. Now, it's a different picture here, but it's a very interesting one. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now it's verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. Now, what is this? The comparison. Many trees in the wood, and yet this is one special tree in the wood. That is, there are many ideas, many philosophies, many thoughts, but there is this one, that's the gospel or many people who advocate certain things, but there is one, the Son of God. But in the woods, now, there's a very interesting point here. It is a place here, there's no shade with the others for life or death, but this tree, this leafy shadow, this fruitful tree, is rather special in this way, if you consider. It stands on its own, it offers succor, it offers protection. But you find it in the woods, and in a moment you'll see how strange it is. This tree stands out on its own, it offers succor when we need it, it offers protection. Now, do you draw on Christ? We can, and it's possible for any one of us, as for all of us sometimes, some of us nearly all the time maybe, we vary immensely, and different times of our life, where we allow our fears and our despair and even our anger, all these things, to dominate us. We are the Lord's, but we don't draw on him. So he's saying, you should. He is our succor. And if we are afraid, he is our protection. Now, this tree, the believer sits under the shadow from the heat of the sun or a sudden storm. It was safe there. So to be near Christ, it is like being from the great heat of the day and all his problems and difficulties. It's a shade. It's a place that is cool and pleasant from the heat of the sun. Or from sudden storms, it is a place also of safety. I sat under his shadow with great delight. So he's saying here, I was near to my beloved, I was near to my Saviour, and it was delightful to me. How do you experience that? If you're called to these things, you know, very gently, and I say to myself as well, get yourself right, you know. Have what Lloyd Jones would say, give yourself a good talking to and get yourself right. Because there are times when we all kind of go back a little and we're cool and a bit indifferent and we sing a good hymn and see nothing in it. We don't even remember the words. We read the scriptures and we read them on a spinal level. We've gone through the words, but our minds have been far away. No, he says, come back. I come back and read them again. Listen to what I have to say to you today. And even in a chapter that seems to be a very violent chapter, you'll find even there a verse or something that will help you. I sat under the shadow with great delight. So when you are near to the Lord, it says with great delight. Now, have you got it now? Did you have it? Have you lost it? And if you've lost it, what's come between you and him? Have you never had it? Then draw near to him. Now, this tree provided nourishment to the believer's soul. To be near Christ, as you read the word of God, you are nourished. These are his words. And to my soul, it's fed and met the mysteries, the mysterious longings of our hearts. Our hearts are mysterious things. There can be so much going on. There's so much fear, so much anger, so much hope, so much despair, all sorts of things. There can be all sorts of things in the mystery of our souls. And so this tree provides help there. If you come to me, I will make it plain. If you come to the Lord, it will be plain. And the mystery of our hearts, his fruit was sweet to my taste. So if we were bitter or indifferent or cold, so we draw near to him and he helps the mystery and the confusion in our hearts, and it is good to be there. So is my beloved. This tree I'm shading is not a tree at all. It's a Saviour. The miracle is that the sinner is found this tree. Now this tree, this place of comfort and succor, it was an apple tree, but not in a garden. This is quite a point, you know. It was not in a garden. It was a fruit tree, but not in a vineyard. Now, you'd expect this kind of tree to be either in a garden or a vineyard, but it's not. It's found in a forest. Now, what is meant by that? Now then, in the density of a woodland, a strange place to be found, an apple tree there, in the forest, not in a garden, not in a vineyard. What a strange place for it to be. And yet, the same as the Son of God. He wasn't a recluse. He didn't hide behind walls. He didn't keep away from people. He was amongst people. You know, in the early church, there are times it was a bit all right, times it wandered. Then you have this kind of monasticism where men sincerely and honestly, if they separated themselves from the world and in a kind of a building and where they supported life themselves, that they would be able to be apart from the world. Some, I suppose, would give themselves to prayer, but they couldn't get the world out of their hearts. Hiding from the world doesn't really take the world out of your heart. So you find this tree not hiding from the world, but it's in the world. As we are in the world, we're not of the world, but we're in the world, and that is where we're meant to be. Now, otherwise, taking a street, if there were not a Christian family there, or they didn't know you were, well, that street would be much poorer. But being there, they all know you're there. They feel they can approach you. So you don't separate yourself from men and women. So the apple tree is found in a forest, not in a vineyard, not in a garden, not in a place that protects the apple tree. Now consider the Son of God, born of a virgin, born in a manger, in such a violent world. Remember the violence of Herod, killing all those little children, you know, to try and find him. Yet he was born at great risk in that place. And for us, he obeyed God's law. Where? In the world. In the world. He obeyed it there. In a wicked and perverse generation, that's the same for us now. We say, well, I want to obey God's will, but I'm going to go far away from people so it'll be easier for me. Well, it doesn't work. That's not never meant to be. We obey God's law, and we have the fruits of the Spirit. In a wicked and perverse generation, this is what he did. In a terrible generation, very brutal, very cruel, and always out for his life, yet he obeyed God's law there for us, in the world. He took our penalty on the cross of Calvary for our failure, in the world, there in the world, not in some special prepared place, a secluded place where he could have a kind of a dignified crucifixion, but in the world where they spat on him, and where they jibed him, and where they mocked him in all sorts of ways. It was in the world. It is a tree of mercy, bearing the fruits of pardon, peace, and cleansing. What a blessed tree it is. I'm glad that God didn't choose to send his Son to some remote place to do all these things. He sent his Son to us, to a perverse generation, to sinful men and women. And there he lived, and there he was crucified, in the world, like this tree, not in a garden, not in a vineyard, and looked after by a gentle gardener, but in the forest. There we find this shade. There's no other tree, the choice tree. As the apple tree among the trees of the world was, so there were many voices and offers. So is my beloved among the sons. There are many other voices. You might say, well, why don't you get away from all those voices and all those ideas? No, no. They will hear him. They will hear him. We consider the sons, but this is the Spirit of the Son of God. This is a choice of the believer. He is my shade. He is my nourishment. How did you find him? How did you find this apple tree? I don't know. There are lots of trees here. Lots of strange ideas. Lots of strange attractions. And for a while, I followed this one and that one, went to one tree after another. But one day, I found the tree. It may be by the grace of God, I was led to that tree. And I found my shade. I found my nourishment. Or as a believer, I found pardon for my sin and the righteousness of Christ. Now, the charm of his invitation, the grace of his presence, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. It's a very lovely part now. You see, we're talking about an intimate relationship, all right? He brought me, the Lord himself leads us on, no one else. The Lord is my shepherd. Let's use a psalm here. He brought me into his banquet house, and his banner over me was love. We'll come back to that in a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So he's describing this. I'm linking it with a psalm. Pastures of grace, waters of life. He brought me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores, he leads my soul in a godly way. Not only do we have the imputed righteousness of Christ, but the imparted righteousness. So we go the way of righteousness. He brought me for his name's sake and for his honor and his glory. Even death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we're still talking now. Where do you have this experience? Did you have it in some secluded spot? No. In the world, in this wicked world, in this terrible world, he brought me in his presence. There was no fear in his presence, but it was only comfort. Now, the banqueting house, that's where he brought me, into a banqueting house, still Psalm 23. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. It's very lovely. A table. Now, what's on this table? Oh, the preparation I have not seen nor ye heard, neither hath it entered the hearts of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Remember now, we all die, right? We all die. And if a Christian dies, it is not death to die. It's different. It is not death to die. It's an entrance into the banqueting hall. And there he's prepared a most glorious table for us here. Eye hath not seen. He supplies all our needs, you know, or entered our hearts. We never thought it was as wonderful as that. It is a mystery. I felt great comfort in over the thoughts of the book I mentioned to you last week, and I have forgotten the author already. I mean to get the book. But he was the main atheist amongst those who were anti-creationist. And at the age of 80, so they're making fun of him because he was 80 when he wrote it, perhaps getting a little bit, you know. And he says, I believe, the title of the book is I Believe in God. And even Dawkins now has said, I don't rule out the possibility of God. Even he. It's amazing how things change, you know. He then comes into his last chapter to say, I believe in a God that reveals himself. Well, how close can you get to Christianity? It's an amazing thing. Thou preparest a table before me, where? In the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, then eventually causing glory. What God hath prepared for them that love him. We recall in Ephesians these words, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, now listen, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Even now, before we are in glory, because we are blood-bought children, because we have been forgiven, he has blessed us. Now, with how many blessings? All. It's a pity we don't apply them. I said for myself too, do you apply the grace of God? All spiritual blessings, so that you have the savour of Christ about you and the loveliness of Christ about you, that your words are tender and gracious and your thoughts are kindly too. And you do not take, what we can use here, we do not become discontented or offended. I love that verse, you know, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where are they from? In heavenly places. In whom? In Christ. This is the banquet. Partially here, ultimately there in glory. And then, and his banner over me is love. How much does he love me? It's as if he covered me, not only with his righteousness, but his love as well. So that I am covered, his banner over me, his love. And that's here now, as well as ultimately, of course, is here now. His banner over me is love. Where do I live? Here, in the forest, in this world. His banner over me is love. The love of Christ on Calvary, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed, and die. You know, it is so tremendous. It's bound to be overwhelming to us all. Jesus, my soul adoring, bends to love so full, so free. And may I hope that love extends its sacred power to me. What glad return can I impart for favours so divine? Oh, take my all, this worthless heart, and make it only thine. Now, can you go that far? I mean, can I go that far? You know, looking back at my life, do you know how I feel? I wish I had done more. Now, I'm not saying that to impress. I wish I had. There were many people I meant to have more fellowship with them. Those who were like prisoners in their own home with ill health or something. And I was so busy. Many things I wish I had done. Many things I wish I had said. Many times I wish I had used my time more completely for him. And I think that's true of us all. We feel inadequate there. But look what it says. Oh, take my all, this worthless heart, and make it only thine. No strangers there, no strange trees, only the apple tree, no other. Where? In the world. In the world. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. Now, that we might know something. Now, look at this, the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, there have been all sorts of comparisons here, measuring the love of Christ, but you can't, you see. The breadth has no limit to it. The length has no limit to it. The depth cannot be measured. And the height reaches right into heaven. Now, this is the love. Now, in all that, you said, you'll never get it in your mind. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. We can enter it, we can feel it, but we will not be able to say, I've got it all. We won't be able to say that, but it will be ours, because his banner over me is love. Then the last thing here, the charge of her care. She now, the believer, is in, stay with me. Stay with me, Flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick, O love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. They're words of lovers, aren't they? The sinner is deeply overwhelmed. the nature of God's presence is such that our infirmity is unsuitable to bear on us. And we constantly need to be strengthened. And so there's a lovely description here. Oh, I'm in his care. I'm so close to him. I'm so close. You know, until I feel overwhelmed with love, he holds me. You know, like there are other verses. Underneath are the everlasting arms. You know, so many. Where's all this? Here. In this world. In your office. In your college. Wherever you are. There. And yet, O Lord of mercy, withhold thy hand at times. It sometimes can be more than we can bear. And yet, O Lord of mercy, withhold thy hand at times. For when thou dost embrace me, my feeble frame declines. The anguish of thy glory my trembling soul can't bear. I sink in human frailty without thy covering care. O fortify me, Saviour, with strength that comes from thee. Endue my soul, Redeemer, with sweet serenity. I long to know such fullness, but grant me grace to stand, a vessel with new firmness, controlled by thy great hand. To be there, to be strengthened, to be able to bear his love, to be strengthened in order to bear the blessings, all blessed spiritual blessings he has for us. It is a gracious charge. Then she speaks again. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem. She's looking around at the others now, and by the rows and hinds of the field, that he stir not, nor wake my love till he please. Don't disturb this relationship. Don't spoil it. I don't say all sorts of things. Can you see I'm close to my Saviour? Do not disturb it until he please, until it's his will to come to you. Do not cause the beloved to be disturbed. Nothing allowed to spoil. Nothing should be allowed to spoil the fellowship of the Saviour and the believer. Now, do we do this? Do we allow things to spoil? There are all sorts of things that spoil. Disappointment, circumstances, financial worries sometimes. All sorts of things can come and spoil my fellowship. And we forget that all things work together for good for them, to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. We forget the relationship. We forget his words. But we must remember them. Let him wake or sleep as he pleases. Do not cause him to leave. One thing I don't want him to leave. This is too precious. And ourselves, what is he like to us? Is he the saviour of the costly tree? Is he the saviour of the cross? Do you know anything of the banquets of grace here and one day in fullness? Consciously experience the canopy of love. You might say, I know and feel his banner over me is love. And I know it in my sorrow, in my bereavement, in my joy, in my misery, in anything. I still know, whatever it may be, his banner over me is love. Can you see? It's the language of hymn writers. The one I quoted every week for you now. Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. And so you'll find the experimental or the experiential hymns have this intimacy of the Song of Solomon. And that's why, I suppose, it speaks so much to people. We love to call him Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, my bright and morning star. There are such a lot of things here that we know this has been the language of believers through all the centuries, when he's close to them and when he's that precious to them, like Jesus, the very thoughts of thee. That kind of thing. Now we finish there.